can fit perfectly within these 3 hours that we have up to 1 o'clock. So we'll have to deal with matters and done with them. But let me begin by saying first and foremost, and I'm saying this for the last time. In our last meeting, I said there will be State of the Nation address, and it will be addressed by the President. And indeed, there was a State of the Nation on the 16th of February, and it was addressed by President Cyril Ramaphosa, the State President. And all of us agree that the act that we get from South Africans is a very positive one. After the President spoke, it's a very positive one, and I think as the country and as Parliament, as well as our government, we don't have to disappoint our people on what we have outlined out there. So we'll have to stick to what we promised the country. So that we can arrest the morale out there. There is a very positive view in terms of South African government from the 16th of February. We'll have to step up our oversight role as this committee. And I think we need to do our best to ensure that the money we vote for is followed. And at the end, it does what South Africans expect from us. So we'll continue to engage vigorously with our department, which is DOC and GCIS, as well as our entities. So, without fear or favor, we'll have to perform our duties. Yesterday, I was dealing with what we are supposed to deal with as this committee, the issue of the chairperson of ICASA. There are processes that were supposed to follow parliamentary processes as this committee of communication, we tabled a report to parliament, and therefore we need to follow that so that we close the chapter of the ICASA chairperson. Yes, indeed, the issue that is coming up did come up during our interviews, that there was an allegation from or about the current chair of ICASA, the fraud and all of that. And that was explained by the gentleman in question. Hence we proceeded because at that point there was no, at least from what we got from him, there was an allegation and the matter fell on the wayside because there was nothing. And then it proceeded. After that briefing, I know there is a lot out there about it, but I think from where I'm seated, I'm convinced that now we are doing the right thing because the man is convicted and there is a sentence very soon in April. So informed by that, we cannot dilly-dally on the matter because now we know that he is convicted and therefore we'll have to put the matter into finality as this committee. I'm raising this because there was this hullabaloo about it yesterday that we are abdicating our responsibilities, this committee. We are not. We are not, and we think that as this committee, having taken a collective decision at that point, we have now taken a collective decision that we must engage on the matter, and then we put it to finality. So that's the issue about Mr. Mhlaluga, and we have released a statement yesterday to that regard. But members, welcome to this session. I know that you did your best in choosing, or you are doing your best in choosing those who must participate in our entities. Welcome, Minister. We know about today's sessions with the President. But thanks for coming and touching base with us in relation to that. We appreciate that, Minister. There are things falling apart here. Chinua Achebe did see this long time ago. Won't waste time. I was just opening Minister, but I was also raising the Mhlaluga issue, which was topical in 702 last night. It's just that other people want to hear what they want. What you're saying to them, they don't hear. So you can explain everything, but if you don't say we interviewed him knowing, we didn't know. So it was that toing and froing between the chair of the committee and the host of the show, Karema Brahm. Apologies, Madisha, Urgent Matters, Mr. Nlosi, in Intelligence Committee, Honorable Mohamed Sala, in Cabinet Meetings. Nazo, apologies, members. Honorable Van Dyke.
Chief, Honorable Pumzale Van Damme is still on her way. She's just run late because of traffic.
Pumzale Van Damme is on her way. Apologies, members. Kalako.
We accept the apologies, Chair.
Thank you very much, sir. Thirdly, agreed.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, sir. We'll then hand it over to you, Minister, the issue that we are going to deal with, I guess, is the issues are a bit intertwined. The MOI and shoulder combat. It's a thoroughgoing presentation that deals with MOI at the same time dealing with the shareholder. On budgetary review and recommendations report, we'll touch on it later, and I think other issues, if your time is pressed, so you'll just indicate and leave. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members, colleagues. Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to come and brief the committee on the work that we do. We have done a separate, actually just briefing on where the shareholder compact is and as well where the MOR process is, Chairperson. And I'll take the committee through both. And then later in terms of the recommendations in terms of oversight by the portfolio committee. I think we've done that, the presentation and the progress in terms of the implementation of the budget review process, recommendations by the committee. The acting DG will take that. Chairperson, I must say that in all the work, I think I'll do an overview, and thank you very much for your indulgence. It's a bit of a hectic day. Indeed, I had managed to join other committees, and I'll have to go to another one at 12, so I can stay until 12, Chair, if the committee is agreeable, so that I can join the other meeting. Chairperson, we must indicate we are really trying to push in terms of progress in other areas. In other areas, there is some level of a bit challenges, and I'll say this when you come to the presentation later in terms of what the acting DG will be presenting on our recommendations. I must still say, if you look at what the committee is raising on oversight entity or the entities that we have, there's still some challenges, Chair, I must say up front. We'll definitely have to spend a lot of time as the department really drilling down on the challenges that we are having. And even when dealing with the issue of shareholder compact and MOI, we are linking it to corporate plan so that our relationship with the board from the shareholder's point of view is governed by necessary tools. It's not something that you just wake up and do things or you call people to account or they do opposite, but there's framework of what needs to happen. And part of the process is to have quarterly meetings with the entities that are institutionalized unless there's an urgent matter that needs to be addressed between the board and the shareholder, then we'll arrange a meeting. We are spending some quiet time with others, meeting more than, I think, since I've been appointed. We've met other entities more than twice already, trying to get the entities back on track in terms of focusing on their performance, stabilizing and making sure that they focus on their task. There are areas, Chair, later will come when we do our presentations in terms of our plans for this year, in terms of where we realize that there are legislative gaps that needs to be closed. And that will assist us because in strengthening those gaps, we will be able to achieve at least a stability of the entities. Now, focusing on the shareholder compact of SABC, let me start in an MOI. With regards to the MOI, Chair, we thought let's take the committee in terms of the process. It's important to start with the MOI before shareholder compact. We are required by Companies Act, Chair, to put together the MOI. And in terms of the responsibility we have, it's not only putting it together, but also depositing it in CPIC so that it's registered. Now, one of the things in this process we thought, let's give a background of that, is that the MOI became a subject of the court process. October 2017, SOS took the minister to court, and according to the, actually the a judgment was delivered at that time after the SOS took that MOR to court. This, in terms of that, that judgment was delivered and it made a reference of improper interference in the affairs of SABC by the minister. But this was also following the work that was done extensively by the ad hoc committee that was looking at the fitness of the SABC board to hold office. Now, the central issue there was the powers vested in the minister in terms of, at that time, there was an issue that it undermined the independence of the SABC and as well contravened Section 1211 of the Broadcasting Act. And Chairperson, major issue, and this is what I try even in the public space to try and clarify, there's two MOIs that were a subject of discussion. One MOI is the one that was signed by the then Minister of Communication, Minister Karim. And I always refer them by dates because it's easy to use them. The 2013 MOI. And that was filed with the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission as required by the law. Then later, Minister of Communication, Minister Mutambi, amended in 2014 the MOI. We are required by the law chair annually to review the MOI and the shareholder compact. If it's not reviewed, we agree with the board, or it's almost like update. If you agree, then you just sign and deposit the updated version, but it's what is required. Minister Mutambi reviewed the MOI, and that was subject for a court. That's what was put in that MOI, chair. It gave powers to the minister to appoint group CEO, COO, and CFO of SABC, and as well issues relating to the board in terms of governance. We know about that. And that became mainly the document that was filed in the court, the 2014 one, which was not legally signed, because immediately once you sign, you agree. It needs to be signed by two parties, by the board chairperson and by the minister. And once it's signed, it must be deposited on CPIC. But the Minister Mutambi's, the 2014 MOI was not deposited in CPIC. When the court judgment was given, it was given on the basis of that, of the 2014 MOI. Then when we got into the process, we tried to rectify the process, Chairperson. And in that, we requested a declaratory order by the court that was signed. We initiated the processes as the department, the minister, through the legal team. And on the 6th of December, that declaratory order was given. The declaratory order, what we were doing, and together with that, we lodged an application to rescind the judgment of October, because in our view, that judgment was based on an MOI that is incorrect. Because remember, this is 2017, and the discussion of the court was on an MOI of 2014, but that MOI, in terms of the law, has no legal standing because it was not registered with CPIC. So that was the basis of us requesting the rescindment of that judgment. And hence, we went even as far as saying we would recognize the MOI of 2013 as registered as the one that is currently in place. And the one that is registered with CPIC while we are amending. Chair, the matter in terms of the court is still pending. We are waiting for finalization, but we are hoping that what we could be able to do is to say between ourselves and SABC, agree on an MOI, which we are almost done. We have developed the MOI. We send it to SABC for socialization for them to look at it if they agree so that they can send it back. I can report, Chair, that SABC currently, they are happy with what we are proposing in terms of the amendments, and we are in the process of finalizing the signing between myself and the chair. I was briefed that the chair has already signed the MOI. We are waiting for them because they have not submitted their corporate plan. For them to submit their corporate plan so that together with all those documents, the shareholder compact, MOI, and the corporate plan is signed off by the minister. And then once that is done, we will submit the MOI, updated MOI, with the court, because we believe that once we deposit that with the court, then that will be able to deal and remove the court process that is currently there, because it will clarify where we stand in terms of the memorandum of understanding and the work that we are doing. Together with that, Chair, we will submit that memorandum of understanding to CIPC and to the portfolio committee. And we think we'll do this together when we submit our corporate plans and all the documents that we're supposed to submit. So that's the process, Chair, in terms of the MOI. And because they are almost linked, Chair, can I go to the corporate plan, just to talk to the corporate plan? On the corporate plan, Chair, shareholders compact, sorry. Just to share with the committee in terms of the principles of the shareholders compact and why it's important to have that. It's mainly to improve corporate governance between the department and the SABC, premised on PFMA, Broadcasting Act, Protocol on Corporate Governance and the Companies Act, and King's 4. Ensuring strategic alignment between the entity and the department, ensuring compliance with relevant policies. Chairperson, the shareholder compact coordinated through the approval of a corporate plan by the minister aimed at creating a balance on accountability and transparency in management of the SABC and should be reviewed annually, as we said. If it's not reviewed, new dates must be signed on what we agree upon, because both parties must say if there are areas that needs to be able to update or they're comfortable with what is currently, but it must be signed annually. Minister accountable to Parliament, Minister responsible for oversight of the SABC, Minister and DG being the nodal or contact point in addressing accountability matters of the entity. This is what in the CRAS is contained in the corporate plan. Board responsible for the control of the SABC, leading and monitoring of activities of the SABC, fiduciary duties determined by the PFMA and Companies Act. Chairperson of the SABC become the nodal point between the board and the minister. So in interacting with the board, we go through the chairperson of the board, and that's what we've been doing, Chair. Board commitments in terms of what we put in the shareholder compact, exercising strategic leadership, enterprise and integrity to SABC, creating a financially sustainable entity, they are responsible for that, review performance management of the executives, develop appropriate reporting mechanism, ensure compliance with best practice in all relevant policies, develop and implement risk management and effective controls, quarterly meetings with the minister on performance, oversee compliance with King 4 report. Then it comes to minister's commitment and responsibility, quarterly engagement with the board on performance issues, agreement on framework and feedback mechanism to increase efficiency, not to introduce new or additional requirements that will impose a significant financial burden of the SABC. We put in this, Chair, so that in between, once there's a corporate plan, I think this one I need to emphasize, once there's a corporate plan, it becomes an agreement between the board and the shareholder. So minister shouldn't be saying in the middle of a financial year, go and put additional burden to the SABC. That has the financial implications, because that's some of the things that can lead to financial unsustainability of the entity and unplanned events. To give the board sufficient notice of any proposed or new additional requirements to the corporate plan. So annually when we do the corporate plan, we have to give them enough time. Unfortunately, I need to say, Chair, right now, because we had asked SABC to submit their corporate plan, proposed corporate plan by last year, they have not complied. I met with them in January, we gave them the second deadline. They have missed the deadline. We are arranging to meet with them so that we can, because it's going to be difficult, because if there's anything that we feel that is needs to be added, we might not have enough time because we are running to chase the date of the end of the month. So that's one thing that in terms of what we try, hence we're saying when we sign shareholder compacts, it's one of the things that is important. Progress to date, document was resubmitted with amendments as per discussions, and document is awaiting for approval. As I said, Chair, we have sent it to the board of SABC for them to look at it. We have received indication that they are comfortable with the document we have sent, and they will sign. I haven't signed finally until I have corporate plan in my hands, Chair, because I think it's important so that we are guided by the work. Thank you very much. I think that's what I thought is important for us to just share. But once we finalize those processes, we submit our annual performance plan and the corporate plans, and I've indicated to all the teams in terms of the entities that I'm one that does not like writing to the speaker requesting extension, so they need to meet the deadline. Currently, I think we are all in progress. We will be able to submit on time, except where I'm not comfortable is SABC where I'm sitting, because I have not even seen the first draft. Whereas with other entities, actually, we are working with a final draft already. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Those are the two documents, work in progress, both of them. As soon as the MOI is finalized, then it will be presented to the committee, as well as the shareholder compact that still need minister awaiting the response of SABC. Any contribution that we want to make so that as both documents are finalized, at least they carry your views, if there are any members. Member Kalako, Dolash, Tsedi, Van Dam, in that order. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. So it means, Minister, the only valid MOI is the one of 2013, which you said you are working on now. So the one which was a contention of controversy is disregarded now. When you look into, with the new approach, as the new president have also alluded to on the role of boards in all these entities, how will we explicitly spell out in all these documents the fact and the idea that boards themselves, just like the minister, should not get involved today running of the entity, especially not get it whilst they control, they direct, they can give a direction, especially getting involved to supply chain management issues which involve procurement. I think that's what now is actually facing us in the whole country, because the issue of the involvement of boards in procurement have been the problem which have created all this, and in any case, and the conflict between the executive and the board. So whilst there are these developments, of course, based on what we have been doing previously, with this new idea, how do we factor that in to make sure that does not happen? We don't have to come back here. The next, I'm sure, Chair, as you alluded earlier, on the side of the minister, the process to actually make sure that anything that will be needing Parliament to get involved, those things will be, if there will be a need of some legislation, if you just to check if there will be a need of some amendments in these things, in as far as the regulations or act is concerned, because these things are not spelled out, which became a problem in the boards for a long time. So if there's any legislation or need for any amendment, I would request that the department and the minister make sure that we get those early so that we can deal with them and dispense with them. So that there's no vacuum or things which are just hanging in the air. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, everybody. Chairperson, I really want to welcome the presentation by the minister. Very clear. I'm also impressed with the progress that has been made. I'm also excited for the fact that now there is no confusion on the MOI. There's only one. I hope the minister will find time just to check, go back a little bit, and find what implication might be there before we came into this conclusion, so that we are not being surprised by anything. We should know what were the implications, how can they frustrate or bring some challenges during that process, so that the minister and the department can be ahead in dealing with those. Chairperson, the last one on the SABC, the minister is indicating to say she is waiting for the SABC. I think, Chair, the minister needs to be a little bit pushy to the SABC, because we might not accept the fact that you'll come and request for extension. There's a new sheriff in town. There are things that we are not going to tolerate, especially when everybody had time to do whatever she or he is expected to. So advise the minister. I know she can do it without being told by us, but I think she must, so that deadlines must be met. There should be no negotiation. Otherwise, we'll start with the wrong footing. They are a new board, so there can be no a situation where we are suspected to be moving a little bit backwards. Forever they must meet with their deadlines. Minister must be forever confident on the work that they're doing. We know for a fact that they are independent to an extent. However, the buck stops with the minister insofar as the oversight is concerned. So that will be my take, Chairperson, so far as the work done, and really congratulate the minister on the progress. Thank you.
Chair, the first part of my contribution on the MOI is covered by my two colleagues. But my question will be, do we have time frames for now as to by when are we supposed to have concluded this particular aspect? As Honorable Dolores has indicated, in the light of these court pronouncements and these other issues, whether we're not likely to have complications going forward if we're to proceed on the basis of the 2014 memorandum, the 2014 MOI. The second one relates to the shareholder compacts. The issue of consequence management on non-performing entities. How do we deal with this particular aspect from the shareholder point of view? Related to that one is whether the mechanisms that the department has put in place to deal with non-performing entities
are clearly stated in the compact. So I'll need clarity, Chairperson, with regard to those two aspects. Thanks.
Chair, I think my questions are broadly covered, and I apologize for being late. What I am interested in is what will be the final product of the shareholder compact, which the Minister has said she will lodge with us. So I'm really interested in those details about that. I'm also particularly interested in the implementation of some of the pronouncements, as Honorable Galako said, about the relationship of boards, the involvement in tenders, but I suppose the Minister will reveal all of that in her budget speech. So I look forward to both those answers, which I know the Minister can't give now, but those are the two things I'm looking forward to. And I'm pleased that the confusion about the two MOIs is now sorted out. So thanks, Chair.
Other hands? Welcome, Comrade Mbinda. Are you covered, Van Dijk? Drachen? Machova? Covered? It looks like everybody's covered. I think the, just to harp on it again, yes, the 2013 MOI, and again the 2014 MOI and what happened from that time when the former minister used the, I'm sorry, just to amplify what comrades have said, what she did from 2013 until the time you came in terms of decisions based on that 2013 MOI. What is the damage caused and how have we dealt with it? Because no doubt about it is damage that was caused, because it was an operation of a MOI that is illegal, not lodged with the CPIC and all of that. But Minister, you are correcting all those things so that we can have a very clear MOI that moves with all of us. But thank you very much. I think the members are okay in terms of your presentation, but there are a few questions that you need to share with us. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. I appreciate the feedback.
Sorry, Minister, just Honorable Kongubela.
My curiosity is that in the interim, how is the performance relationship being managed under the circumstances? What is this situation? Yeah.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I appreciate the feedback from Honourable Members. Indeed, Honourable Galako, the valid MOI is the 2013 one that we are working on in terms of the law. And in our work in terms of reviewing, we took that one and we started updating that one. That's why I'm saying we are in almost agreement with the board in terms of signing. Definitely we have to relook in terms of the pronouncement of SONA, and I think it's linked to what Honorable Van Damme was saying. We have to look at that. One of the mechanisms as well, I mean, I always say part of the triggers that you see if a board is starting to interfere with management and executive and running is the number of meetings they have. Once the board, if they're expected to meet once in a quarter, they meet 10 times in a quarter, then you see that is a red flag for you. Part of the issues is to say to the board, you are required to meet at a particular, this is how much you are required to meet, and if they do have more than that, they have to apply through to the minister. Then that's one, you protect the institution from finances, because I mean people can request to meet more, whereas it's about collecting board fees. Two is to be able to start looking at what is it that they are doing so much that they have to meet, because the board has to play oversight and the executive directors must fund the entities. As far as I'm concerned, since I've been appointed, none of the boards have requested additional time to meet. So if they do meet outside the required, I'm going to have to take penalties and act on that, because we will firstly request them to pay back the monies they have received in terms of board fees, but as well take consequence management. It's very clear. I've raised it with a lot of them to say, if you meet outside the requirement, the prescripts, you have to apply for it. And if you meet outside, then it means we'll have to act. But equally, we have to protect, because others can say we can meet more and therefore we don't need to be paid. And then they end up running the institution. It's a tricky one. I think some of the issues we'll have to rework and then look at it, Chair. Obviously, would be guided even as well if colleagues have more suggestions that what we can do in terms of improving. Because one, you have to be cautious as well as the minister not to go deeper and start interfering. Because you might think I'm doing oversight and then eventually you yourself cross the line, because it becomes a very fine line. So those are the things. I mean, from my side, it's always in the meetings, quarterly meetings with the boards. We are currently scheduling ones for looking at final presentations that we'll be bringing to Parliament. But equally in terms of their performance, where you see there's lack of performance, because you can't have the board that is meeting too much, but there's no product. Your quarterly reports are late. So those are some of the triggers that shows you that there's a problem. As well, interaction with board chairpersons. We try and meet regularly with board chairpersons. Interact. If there's emergencies, they do call and then we talk or we arrange meetings. But I think, Chair, there are entities that are going to take a bit of a time to change, to turn around the corner, because of the culture, because of how people are used to doing things. Now, if you're saying this is how things should be done, as Honorable Tolashe is saying, there's a new sheriff in town. Even when you arrive as a minister and you say, but this is not how things are to be done, you find at times you can find resistance, you can find people not understanding, but you have to constantly, especially do within the ambit of the law, but also governance structures, and say, but this is what needs to be done. So as part of that work, we've been trying to take each other on board, regularly meet and not only correspond with letters. They know, I say to them, writing letters sometimes might end up even being misunderstanding each other. Let's find time, especially while we're building the relationship and getting things around. Let's meet and sit around the table. You explain to me what is happening, convince me why you're taking certain decisions and directions, so that if I think you are taking wrong decisions, it becomes a discussion. It's not me just imposing decisions on you. So those are some of the things that we are trying to do. There's definitely areas where we need legislative amendments. One is on the MDDA. The Act is very old. I think it's not assisting us to achieve what we want to. With the lessons that we have learned now with the chairperson of the ICASA, I think we need to amend the legislation so that it's precise, where it says if indeed, for example, a person says, I've appealed, for example, the law must be very precise to say what you do, because there are implications to the institution. It's a regulator. So the decisions that are taken and are protected, I think that needs to be closed, that gap needs to be closed, Chair. There is definitely going to have, we're going to have to amend the ECA from a broadcasting point of view, so that we can respond to the challenges that are there of digital era. So those things we will pronounce broadly as well in what we want to do and what we achieve, and we'll definitely indicate in time, Chair, to the committee so that we are very clear on what we want to do. We are trying our best to ensure that everybody complies. We put deadlines. I mean, there are a number of areas where you put deadlines and people are not, I've put certain measures already. I mean, we had to write to ICASA councillors because I gave them deadlines to sign performance agreements. They missed the deadline and I've gotten into the area of consequence management for that. So, as I'm saying, Chair, it's not easy to have people changing when they're used to a very laxed way of doing things. The issue of time frames, Honourable Member, our time frames in terms of finalising is late. By end of this financial year, everything is to be in place. When we submit, because submission of annual performance and plans and corporate plans is by end of March, so that is our deadline. That's our time frame. I think one of the things that we had not put into the shareholder complex is around the issue of consequence management. I think we'll look at that and possibly update it so that we can have a way of really putting it in the instrument that we are using. In the interim, in terms of performance, Honorable Ngungubele, we are dealing with that in terms of our quarterly meetings. So when we meet quarterly, we reflect on the performance, and then we deal with that. So that's how we're trying to manage it. As I'm saying, we are meeting now to deal with it. They submit quarterly reports. We look at them, and then we reflect back, Chairperson. We do not only just rely, because how it happens is that they submit quarterly report, then the team, technical team from the department, will meet with the team of the entity to go through, understand the reasons, understand why non-performance in certain areas, and then they will write a report to the minister. When I look at that, maybe I find that this explanation are just not justifiable. Why are we not doing things? Then you call a meeting, you agree with them. If performance is fine, then you focus on the areas where they are and non-performance areas. So we are doing that through quarterly performance and trying to make sure that we are able to achieve what we want to achieve. As I said, it's moving slowly, but we are, I think, on the right track towards ensuring that we have entities that are functioning effectively. And I think the pronouncements by the President helps to a large extent, where members of the board can not only just hear from the minister, but can hear from the head of state, saying that certain conducts are unacceptable. That helps a lot, so that when we put it in place, we can be able to deal with it properly. So that is very helpful in terms of assisting us and giving us more authority in terms of dealing with that, because the issue of interference of boards into the running of entities, I mean, it's worrying, I must say. We do have that in our portfolio, Chair. I must be upfront. We are trying to deal with it in terms of sorting those things out. Thank you very much. I think we have covered all the issues that are raised. But more will definitely, once we're done with our performance plans and our corporate plans, and as we table our budget, we'll be able to explain all the issues. Thank you.
Anything more, members? I hear that councillors, the CASA councillors' performance, they have not yet come back to you. Is in the Act, can we... Have we looked at it? I don't know if you do have your this thing. Members, do you have the book? So that we can organize the book for you if you don't have. The minister must, in consultation with the National Assembly, establish a performance management system to monitor and evaluate the performance of the chairperson, councillors, and the council individually and collectively. I think that's what is expected from those councillors. Here is the book. I don't know if Parliament, where are you supposed to get this book? Why don't you equip the members? The response is that because I got it from Inkasa as well. The response is that The responses that ICASA promised, maybe when we're there on the 26th, 27th, 28th, you'll come back with them. Promise? We promise you, members. Okay. Yes, Honourable Fandeke.
Chair, I just want to ask one question with regards to the ICASA chair. Being disqualified, found disqualified, is he still receiving financial benefits? Because if then we should surely put a stop to that.
Thank you, Chairperson. As we are waiting for the book, if the Minister and the Department can also bring us an update report on exactly what the book is saying, insofar as the performance of the councillors individually and collectively, so that we don't wait for the actual book, Chairperson.
You want to... Can... Okay, Minister.
No, Chair. The issue is that they must first sign performance agreements. They have not signed them. So you can't evaluate when there is no performance agreement. They've never signed. That's the issue.
I'm right, they've never signed.
Yeah, they've not signed. So that's the issue. They must first sign. After signing, we have a performance agreement. Then there's an establishment of an assessment panel. That assessment panel, from the side of the minister's side, we are putting together that panel from our side. And then once we are done, because it can be joined, I think maybe unless I'm reading the law incorrectly, it can be jointly. We assess and submit to the portfolio committee. We must first get the performance agreement signed, deposit them to the portfolio committee, then do that work when we do a panel. And our intention is to have either a retired judge or somebody with legal expertise to chair the panel. We've asked the Department of Justice to second somebody or give us someone, which we have, DECO as well in terms of submitting some people. So we're looking at professional bodies and academics to assist. So we're putting that panel together. That work is almost done. But you can't even assign any responsibility to these people until I have, because once I appoint them, I must be able to say, this is what you do. Now, that's why we gave the deadline to the councillors to say submit by this date. They've raised concerns in terms of the misalignments and all those. I said, no, you have been requested long time ago to deal with this matter. It can't be now. We are almost at the end of a financial year. We don't have anything. So that's one. On the issue of Chairperson of ICASA, I don't know if you want, okay, let me.
Now I'm going to smash it. Yes, I did talk about it when I was opening the meeting. Maybe it's correct. We are now dealing with MOI and shareholder compact. But there are issues around the chairperson of ICASA, which I explained when I was opening. But if there's something to add, Minister, you can, in relation to that question.
Chairperson, I'm not so sure. It becomes difficult because I didn't hear your remarks. From my side as the minister, I await the guidance from Parliament, because it is Parliament which is the appointing authority and the dismissing authority, not the minister. So where I'm sitting, I do not have any authorization to do anything.
It's exactly what I was saying when I was opening the meeting. Kungbe?
No. Probably it's an old question. Oh, Mr. I think he's in charge of the oversight unit. Now, the question that will be posed is there a record of operation that could be given by the department to the committee that says this is what the oversight unit has been doing in interacting with all the agencies, where the gaps of lack of signing of agreements and all, so that the committee can have a sense that unit is doing its work because there's what to call escalation at work. A lack of signing of an agreement is a matter that must be escalated. Because if you work without that agreement, you're working in an abnormal, what to call, situation. Actually, if you work under those circumstances, there's cheating, but it's, which is allowed. I mean, somebody must answer for that. So it would be useful just to get a report, because he is reporting to the minister. There must have been interaction on his oversight work. Because his oversight work must say, the following entities, every year they are supposed to have met the following. You tick entity so-and-so, met this, entity so-and-so, whatever. There are those that qualify escalation. What did the minister do? And all those kind of things. Because, I mean, the way we are working is quite scary. How do we work under these circumstances? Because, so if ACASA continues to work under these circumstances, where is the control?
This is what is called a consistency. I remember very well when we were in GCIS meeting. He asked, he was excited first and foremost, him, that there is a person who is dealing with entity oversight. And he asked those questions. And I think they are very relevant because you have a section or whatever that deals with entity oversight. And surely that section has a plan, has its reporting and all that kind of thing. I think this is what the colleague is requesting. It may not be now, but if there is something to explain now and maybe get that, so that even when we perform oversight in entities, at least we do have that kind of information. As we are going there on the 26th of March, meeting the entities, that will assist us a great deal. Minister?
No, definitely we can provide the report, Chair. I think I'm not being protective, they know. They are doing their best in terms of putting all the issues that needs to be done. As I'm saying, for example, even this one, it was escalated to the minister. To say we've been pushing, we've been doing this, we're not. And then the minister then finally wrote formally to the councillors and gave them a deadline. And once a deadline is not met, then the minister then moves to the next step. So even on quarterly performance, SABC, for example, requested to submit delayed their quarter 3 performance report. It was escalated because it's only the minister that can grant such. So the minister gave them, extended to a particular date to say, this is when we are extending to you. So there is a system that is there. It might not be perfect, but there is a system. We continue to improve on it, and we continue to work. As I'm saying, it's a whole lot of things that needs to be put in place, Chair. That you have to get to say, okay, this is what, for example, where you find an entity say, but you should have submitted this, and they say, no, but we were not aware, you know. So you're starting to say, okay, upfront, this is what you must do, this is when you must do it, and all that, so that there's no misunderstanding. But equally, one of the things, Chair, I must flag is if we can ensure continuity in the entities, and this is my appeal to the portfolio committee, because you do the interviews and appointment, because the turnover as well impacts on the entities. So in terms of continuity, in terms of the skills and understanding, that's my appeal, because majority of the entities of us, actually almost all of them, it's only one, all of them are appointed by Parliament. So would appeal that. Let's balance the skills so that we bring people who also understand corporate governance, people who understand PFMA cycle, because you can't do an oversight if you do not know that there's a annual corporate plan that must be submitted to AG by end of February to them. You know, before you submit, minister must have oversight of it, otherwise it's an audit query. Now, if a board does not understand, then they can arrange their board meetings without taking cognizance of those things. So I'm just saying, it's those things that we pick up, we come across when interacting with some of the boards that you find these gaps. They do exist, Honourable Member. Where I must start, you know, true, they do exist. I mean, understanding of government cycles, it's a challenge in entities. It's a serious challenge. So that's one of my appeal to Parliament. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kongbele. It talks to the decision tracking. You know, if you don't have that system, I remember very well your questions around this, and if we're tracking our decision, not necessarily yes, them, but also us as the committee, if when we take decisions, we have a way of tracking those decisions so that these questions are not repeated. We now go to the briefing by the Department on progress made in implementing the recommendations of the committee. 2017 Budgetary Review and Recommendations Report, as well as Committee Oversight Visit Reports to the to Gauteng. I think let's get there, but again, on this one that we have just passed, the oversight one, I mean the entity oversight, I just want to emphasize, members, that on the 26th of March to the 29th, will be in Gauteng again, oversight on the department and the entity. So this report that we, Kongobele was raising, will also help when we do those oversight visits. Just to remind you again that that week it's not for anything else, it's for oversight in Gauteng. 26th to the 29th. Just before you go for your Good Friday, we want you to pray well after doing good work. Minister?
Chairperson, if I can get an indication as soon as possible where I'm required so that I can make it. I hear you will be doing oversight over the department and entities. I'm just requesting if I will be required for any particular, please, if I can get that indication.
Okay, no, we'll do that. You will get it. Over to you.
Okay. We will do the budget review recommendation report. We've tried to track some of the issues. Chair, there is progress. Others, where it says we need to come, will obviously be guided by the portfolio committee. We've left that to say we'll wait for the portfolio committee to guide us. But allow the acting DG to take us through so that he can assist in terms of that presentation.
Thanks, Chair, honorable members. The presentation will cover how we have fared as a department in terms of implementing the recommendations made by the committee, and also reflect on what are the practical issues that you have dealt with and when they were dealt with. In terms of the ensuring that the audit committees of the department and entities present their audit plans, So far, the audit plans are in place and are presented quarterly to the respective audit committee meetings. And we have the departmental own monthly internal and risk committee meetings where the presentations are made, and we look in terms of how to track progress in terms of the issues that are coming out of those two committee meetings. On the other issue of improved funding system of all entities to ensure that funding provided to entities supported with appropriate accountability systems, we have developed a mechanism where on a quarterly basis entities submit their financial and non-financial report on how the funds were used. The system is there. We meet quarterly and we reflect on it objectively. And furthermore, the entities are required to provide detailed report on how they utilize previous tranches before we can submit the next transfers. Intensify oversight over entities to ensure consistent implementation of consequence management and reporting on to the committee on application of consequence management practices. We have held a number of meetings where they are covered there, where with SABCs we have had 5 meetings, FPB 3 meetings, ICASA 2 meetings held, MDDA 7 meetings, Brand SA 3 meetings. But on top of that, we have DGs and CEOs forums where we meet and discuss some of the challenges of the entities. So far, we have held a meeting with ICASA, one with FPB, one with Brand SA, one MDDA, one with SABC. We have also developed subcommittees to ensure that at operational level there are engagements with entities to ensure that things don't fall within the cracks. There are CFOs forums where they discuss financial matters. We have had 2 meetings to date. There are policy and regulation subcommittees that have met once. And there are company secretary meetings together with our legal team where the meetings that were held were 4. In terms of ensuring that we streamline department and its entities to ensure that given the limited available funds, they must all ensure that targets are equivalent to available resource and capacity in order to deliver on their respective mandate. We have joint planning sessions that are held to ensure that planning is done correctly and there are monitoring and evaluation tools that are put in place. We just held the last session in the 17th of October, and the next one is going to be held in May 2018. But in between, the minister from time to time engaged the board and councils on matters that are important and urgent. And we're also going to have a strategic planning and performance monitoring forum set up for April. But this will then meet on a quarterly basis to ensure that things don't fall within the cracks. In terms of improving support to SMMEs, we have reviewed our tender processes to ensure that we include some of the SMMEs from level 1 to level 3 in terms of the BBBEE. We have looked in terms of the supply chain sourcing strategy to ensure that we support the small medium enterprises. And this we do in guidelines and proper consultation with the Treasury regulations. In terms of the list of all the international trips that were undertaken, we have been to the 4th annual Rainbow Push Coalition and Citizen Education Fund International Convention. We have been to the 5th African Digital Conference and also the 25th anniversary of the South African Broadcasting Associations. We have been to G20. We have been to Swaziland in request by the Swazi to help by the Department Minister of Communication Swaziland to assist them in developing the media policy. We attended the 39th session of General Conference on UNESCO Sector Commission, which led to information and communication technologies. We did attend the AU summit as well, which dealt with the specialized technical committees on communication and ICT. We were also part of the 3rd SADC WRC meeting, which took place in Malawi. In terms of the department to present performance management system to councillors, the nomination of the evaluation panel was submitted, and DERGO and Department of Justice have also responded. The only thing that needs to be done is just the putting up of the panel, but as Minister indicated, we are just awaiting the signing of performance contracts by the by the ICASA councillors. And the next one, in terms of ensuring that the quarterly audits to assess progress in relation to empowerment of women and people living with disabilities, there is a committee that deals with this where we work jointly with DTPS to make sure that we comply with this. There were a couple of meetings that were held, but the official one led by the DGs was held on the 21st of November. In terms of ICASA and Films and Publication Board, to present to the committee comprehensive report leading to the payout of senior managers. The report was presented in the previous portfolio committee meetings. The matter was referred back for clarity and consequence management. In liaising with Association of Independent Publishers and provide the committee with detailed information on utilization of government ad spend, the GCIS has assisted us in terms of providing guidance in terms of how we're going to implement this. A tender was subsequently issued on the 17th of November. They are busy finalizing the panel, which will be ready by March month end. In ensuring that the department and entities employ people with relevant skills to address infrastructure challenges and impede service delivery, in terms of the department, 4 employees with relevant skills have been appointed in 2017-18. Employment in entities overseen by the respective boards, however, appointment of executive is done with consultation with the minister. But minister have from time to time amplified this matter in consultation with the board that there is a need to ensure that we have the right people with the right skills to ensure that they can help us improve the performance of the entities. In terms of the department in making broadcasting service available to people living with disabilities, particularly the deaf community, from a policy point of view, ICASA has recently published a draft code for people with disabilities. The code will be finalized by June. In the meantime, the SABC currently complies with the provision of subtitles and usage of spoken languages for deaf and reports annually to ICASA on this one. The department has also met with the working group on affordable and accessible ICT for persons with disabilities under the auspices of DTPS ICT Forum, and the meeting was held on the 21st of November. The department will be publishing the Digital Audio Policy Directive to address this issue in detail. This matter will be finalized in June 2018. Minister, to ensure that departments and entities consistently respond to issues raised by the committee, Minister indicated earlier that there are quarterly meetings that are held with entities to ensure oversight and improvement of governance. Quarterly reports are prepared and approved by Minister to ensure that adequate oversight and compliance is in place. The Minister to ensure that DOC plays its role in overseeing the entities. Ministers as institutionalized quarterly meetings with board when required ad hoc meetings are held in between. Entity oversight policies being implemented to ensure proper oversight. Fast tracking progress made in relation to DTT in order to make up for delays. A progress report on the implementation was presented to the portfolio committee. At the moment, the rollout is underway in Northwest and Free State, and therefore we'll be concluding the countrywide strategy and rollout plan by February 2018. The deadline that we are aiming to meet is not to miss the ITU June 2019 one. Provide plans to mitigate the 3 million shortfall for South African households in terms of the set-top boxes. The submission for additional fund was made to the National Treasury during the MTF process. The department plans to venture into partnership with the private sector to see how best we can collaborate to ensure that we reduce the shortfall. Urgently fill all funded vacant positions in the department and its entities. The filling of this posts are currently in progress, but to date, 16 positions have been prioritized. Post level 12 and below will be finalized by end of February, and level 13 will be finalized by 1st of March. Report to the committee on mechanism that will enforce a recourse to penalize board members involved in unlawful purge of other board members. The department is further seeking clarity from the judiciary on the appeal that was lodged in November on the SOS case. But subsequent to that, once the matter is concluded, the minister will bring the matter to the portfolio committee and to parliament. report to the Committee on Strategies to Improve Women and People with Disabilities, representation to Board and Council, reporting to Minister. Minister is responsible for appointment in the FPB, and as a result, the chairperson and deputy chairperson are women, which are sitting at, we're sitting at 66% out of the 9 that are there. Report on progress made to cater and improve employment conditions of people living with disabilities. Where we are now, 3 disability access audits have been conducted in 2017. Reasonable accommodation is implemented and reports are submitted to DBSA and Department of Labor annually. Report to the committee on how department plans to engage and collaborate with Department of Social Development on its tracking system that will help the national department place people with disability in positions. The department reports to the DSD annually on the implementation matrix of the rights of people with disabilities, specifically on the access to information and communication. In addition, the department is in partnership with organizations dealing with employment of people with disabilities. Ensuring that performance bonuses adhere to legislation, policies and regulation governing application of performance-related contracts. Employee performance bonuses were paid in line with the provision of the legislation and policies. Providing a clear plan on how the department is going to make sure that government department advertise through platforms that have been created by the department. The minister has written to national departments in requesting support to advertise in Vuk'uzenzele newspapers and encourage them to use community radio stations through GCIS in engaging the South Africans. The matter will be brought to finality in March 2018. Submitting a comprehensive report on the vacant posts in the department and its entities before the end of the financial year. We have already addressed the matter, but the department will undertake to submit a comprehensive plan of the entities to Parliament. Ensure that the department and entities strive to reach 50% and 2% representation target on gender, people living with disability, respectively, by the end of the current financial year. In terms of employment equity status in DOC, by 31st March, we're sitting at 44%. We have increased to 45% in 2017, and we are aiming to reach 48% in terms of female representation. And also in terms of disability, we'll see how best we can improve from the current situation because we have seen a decrease. Considering amnesty for those with arrears on TV licenses as it remains an obstacle for the progress on DTT. The provision of STB is linked from TV licenses as we are sitting at the moment. Providing a quarterly report on progress made in implementing committee recommendations. Quarterly meetings are held to discuss performance and oversight. Quarterly reports are approved to ensure compliance with both performance and oversight recommendations. The department to present performance management system of ICASA counselors. I think there we spoke about minister giving the deadline and minister will be engaging the council as consequence management emanating of non-performance. Quote for regulation for the PLWD. ICASA has developed a code on people with disabilities as required by Section 70 of Electronic Communications Act of 2005. In terms of implementing consequence management on areas raised by Auditor General, I have attached the annexure there because they have managed to address some of the issues that were raised by AG and we have managed to reduce them drastically. Making available comprehensive report which include an exit interview on the staff members who left ICASA and a detailed report on litigation of ICASA and the PricewaterhouseCoopers. Report before the end of the financial year. We have attached the litigation report. Provide a breakdown of ICASA consumer complaints before the end of 2017-18 financial year. According to the report, out of the 4796 complaints, 4195 have been resolved, and we have attached the report for statistical reference. Making available detail of ICASA meetings that were held across the borders in respect of frequency spillage or interference before the end of the financial year. ICASA submitted the progress report on signal signation and radio frequency interference. According to the report, the first meeting with Mozambique was held in 2017, and the two meetings were held with Lesotho regulators in June 2017 and October 2017. Keeping the moratorium of the issuing of licenses for community radios until substantial progress has been made on the provision of infrastructure for the existing ones, ICASA intend to conclude the process to develop a regulatory framework for community broadcasters in 2018-2019 financial year. The moratorium will be reviewed once the new regulatory framework for community broadcasting is finalized and upon the release of the spectrum. Submit a comprehensive report leading to the payout of senior managers before the end of the financial year. The report will be submitted to the committee before the end of the financial year. Present plans to mitigate the ACSA findings. In terms of the plans, there were 146 audit findings, 44 have been resolved, whereas 92 are in progress and 10 have not been started. We have attached an annexure that outlines that. In terms of SABC, to appear before the committee to brief it on how to mitigate the decline in sponsorship, the SABC has developed plans to address the declining sponsorship, and the report will be ready to be presented to Parliament. Pay suppliers within 30 days. The SABC is not in a position to honour all this because of its financial challenges. The corporation is engaging with the banks and submitted the revised request for government guarantee to National Treasury during 2017 November. Feedback is still awaited on the matter. Upon securing the funds, the SABC will be able to comply with the 30-day payment to suppliers. Minister, to fast-track appointment of executives, in terms of the chief executive officer, the advertisement was closed on the 14th of February. Chief financial officer advertised closed on 14th February. Chief operating officer, it was finalized and the official started on the 1st of February. The group executive news, the first round of interviews were completed. Chief audit executive, the first selection was done in December. The group executive corporate affairs to be advertised. Group executive human resource, first round of interviews were completed. Group executive radio, it was filled actually on the 1st of December. Group executive media technology and infrastructure to be advertised. Head of legal also to be advertised. To provide a report that quantifies the financial impact or alcohol ban will have on the SABC, SABC commissioned a study on the matter, and the report will be presented to Parliament. Films and Publication Board to endeavor to move from stagnation as per AG report. The acting CEO was appointed to expedite the implementation of the strategic decisions. The executive authority is currently looking at the capacity of the board. Provide a detailed report on the children's right awareness campaign and ensure that it is all inclusive, including to children living with disability. An outreach campaign is currently underway, and the last one that was held was in Cape Town between 5 to 8 February. The event including the launch of the Safer Internet Day and workshop with learners and educators. Films and Publication Board to reduce the utilization of consultants and ensuring that there is skills transfer to its staff. In this case, the consultants that were used were on Pastel and the matter of maintenance of the business intelligence system, which was previously done by the consultants. Currently, they have trained personnel inside, and the utilization of consultants won't be an issue. FB attend to plight of DAFSA with agency. FPB engaged them in Western Cape in February 6th and is assisting in advocating for greater inclusivity of people with disability in the films and media industry. The FBB Child Protection Officer received sign language training in January 2018 to enable better communication when engaging with deaf learners. Submit to the committee, amongst others, a full detailed report on cancer legal consultation and other flight details. We have included and attached the legal fees as Annexure 6. The fees were mainly incurred on the process relating to the Films and Publication Amendment Bill, regulatory matters, as well as investigation and disciplinary matters relating to the CFO, CEO that was presented in the previous committee meeting. Brand South Africa increased the number of employees living with disability. The entity has a database of recruitment services providers that deals with people living with disability. When positions become available, the entity invite them to send their CVs and they will share the available vacancies with the organization to ensure that they increase the number of employees living with disability being in their employ. Whistleblower policy should be shared with other entities in the portfolio. Whistleblower policy was submitted on the 31st of January and was shared with other entities. Brand South Africa addressed the increased pattern of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. In engaging with them, we realized that there were no fruitless and wasteful expenditure in the year under review. However, the entity has currently put additional controls in place to ensure that none of this occurs and it will be detected, and where possible, we'll look in terms of corrections and consequence management. In terms of MDDA, provide more clarity on outsourcing of internal audit functions at MDDA by the end of the financial year. This was outsourced due to the current vacancies, but the contract expires in March and we will bring in-house capacity to deal with this matter. There's been shortlisting and interviews of internal audit manager, which will take place in March, which should the position be filled by 1st of April 2018. The internal audit structure has been reviewed to ensure that we have sufficient capacity to deal with some of these issues that were raised. Provide MDDA's report on project monitored by the end of the financial year. The target was to monitor 80 projects by the end of the financial year. To date, 41 projects has been finalized. The balance is in its final stages. The unit is working on concluding and obtaining approval of 39 outstanding before in quarter four of 2017-2018, meaning that we'll conclude before March 31st. Provide a progress report on the appointment of MDDA's permanent executive members before the end of the financial year. The recruitment plans were submitted. Positions will be filled by 1st of April. Interviews are scheduled to take place in February. CEOs, which should enable position to be filled by 1st of April. CFO and director strategy shortlisting is taking place in February, which should enable the positions to be filled by 1st of April. And lastly, on MDDA, to present a plan of action to mitigate on AXA findings, the AIP is presented at audit risk and audit and risk committee meetings on a quarterly basis where implementation is monitored. 30 findings were raised by AXA in 2016-17 financial year, and currently 21 have been successfully addressed. Progress is still being tracked in resolving the remaining 9 by the end of the fourth quarter. Provide a report on the MDDA criteria used to select project for funding. We have attached annexure to ensure that we elaborate on what are these selection criteria that is used. Thank you.
Just if I may check two things. I think it's on slide 15 where we talk about the use of Vuk'uzenzele and community radio station. We have written, but I must say, we've seen an increase of a number of ministers using the community radio stations. It's very encouraging. I mean, with the SASA project, for example, Minister Dlamini used literally quite frequently to speak to the beneficiaries through community radio stations. I think that has been done, updating them every time, every month, to say this is what is going to happen, and we've seen that very well. So there are a number of ministers that have done well in terms of that. We are encouraging a lot of them. And then on the issue, Chair, just what another thing that I want us to speak to that I need to emphasize on slide 14, appointments to board. My appeal again, let's try from the portfolio committee, improve on the number of women. We are having a difficulty. I think SABC currently we have Yeah. In terms of all of them, the number, I think we've got 11 board members, and we have two remaining, because board member Khalid has resigned. So we should try and balance, at least let's try and reach 50-50 minimum. So that's the appeal. And then on slide 13, Chair, in light of the pronouncements by the President, we are likely to delay the process of the level 13, no, which is the higher level, your DG and DDGs, that we will delay until the finalization and pronouncement by the President on the configuration of the departments. Thanks.
Yes. That's the presentation, comrades. Comrade Monley, Comrade Teddy, Comrade Van Dyke, Comrade Drachan, Comrade Mbinda. Yes, for now. Comrade Monley.
One appreciates the report, whether you call it a slide or a page. It's page 5, speaking on the support of SMEs. Are we there? What worries me, Chair? I never understood this question in the past to be in the quantitative manner as it is answered. Because the way it is answered, it's about increasing and supporting more. I have always understood it most of the time when we came across struggling SMEs, those who were already supporting. That's how most of the time this question emerged. Now, the way it is answered, I'm not saying this one was not asked. It's purely a quantitative question. We have increased, we have included level to that. And I'm not sure it goes, because in our oversight, the big problem is the state in which these SMEs, we find them. But the way it is being answered now, it's answered quantitatively, not qualitatively.
Thank you. Let me welcome the presentation, but start with to take further the issue that has just been raised by Honorable Kunguvel, the issue of SME development. And I'm raising this thing in the light of the pronouncement by the President while he was talking about the small business funds and the role of the small enterprise finance agents. It might be useful, Chair, going forward, that we get a comprehensive report in terms of exactly what is it that entities in particular have done in that area of an SMME development as part of progress going forward. So I'm just raising that one, as it might not necessarily be enough in the manner in which you have captured it, but going forward, we might need a comprehensive report which is inclusive of the work that is being done by entities in that area. The second one relates to the recommendation on improving funding systems. I don't remember the page. Improving funding systems somewhere. I don't remember the page. My apology.
That's why you must improve.
Yeah, my apologies.
You have a lot of questions, but you don't know the pages.
Yeah, but...
So just improve on...
okay, the pages. I agree. But I think the DG remembers the issue that I'm talking about. I'm saying, Chair, beside the issue of us ensuring that funds allocated are utilized appropriately, One other aspect that we might want to look at very, very closely is the issue of underspending. I just don't remember if the minister was with us by the time one, at some stage, there was an issue of the 4 million that was that could not be spent by ICASA. I don't remember if the minister was already with communications. So as I'm saying, it's one other aspect that we need to look at very, very closely. Not only look at whether the money that has been allocated has been utilized appropriately. We must also look at this particular aspect very, very closely. It can't be right. More often, people come here and say, we have funding challenges, but money allocated is not utilized. So I'm just raising that issue to say, over and above the issue of us checking how monies are being utilized, we might as well look at that particular aspect. I'm happy because page 44, I'm improving chair this time around. You, the issue of consequence management, you indicated the work that has been done in that particular area as part of oversight. It might be useful, perhaps, going forward to indicate steps that has been taken in terms of attending to that particular area of consequence management. What is it that has been done by the department to deal with this particular area? It might not necessarily be in detail in terms of being with specifics, but just to say in ICASA, these are the steps that has been taken in the area of attending to the implementation of consequence management. The other area, Chair, is the issue of international trips. To me, it's not just important for us to say we have managed to attend to undertake this particular trip. But what is also key is value for money. After we have attended that particular international trip, what is it that we are bringing along to the country? Because more often it's just to receive a communique to say there is this trip, we just got there, when there is no value for money. So I'm saying it's important for us as we undertake these trips, we look at that particular aspect. The second last one, Chair, is the issue of the empowerment of women and people with disabilities. And the progress says this is a TTPS mandate. And I'm sure the attitude of the committee that day was to look at how entities in particular are attending to this particular area, the empowerment of women and people with disabilities. So I'm saying going forward, it's important for us to know what is it that entities in particular have been doing in this particular area of the empowerment of women and people with disabilities. Departments advertising through platforms by GCIS and community radio. I think by now we should be having a comprehensive report that says since we last met, of all the departments, how many have managed to advertise through GCIS? I appreciate the area that has been indicated by the minister with regard to SASA is fine, but it might be as well important for us to know from time to time, after the last engagement, how many departments have managed to advertise through platforms by GCIS and community radio. And how many continue to disregard this particular area. Surely there should be a mechanism to detect those departments that continue to defy this particular aspect of supporting community radio. I'm happy with the progress that has been made with regard to the 50-50, the 50% target for women and the 2% aspect for people with disabilities. But the progress does not say anything about entities. It might be important in the next progress report to know exactly, even with entities, how are entities progressing in this particular area. I'm concluding, Chair. Moratorium on licenses by ICASA, is it really happening, or ICASA is continuing to issue licenses? I've seen the progress and I appreciate it, but are we really monitoring ICASA to ensure that this particular area is being attended to? At some stage, ICASA was saying the regulations are in such manner that it's very difficult to disapprove applications and all these other things. Are we able to monitor this particular aspect? Because we might be saying, indeed, this is happening when licenses are continuing to go out, when those that have been given licenses in the past continue to struggle in the area of infrastructure and all these other things. Obviously, with MDDA, Chair, we need a real state of affairs. This one is very brief to me. We need a real, in the light of what we've been complaining about, we need a real state of affairs. What is happening now? We might need a separate session to meet with MDDA in particular, in the light of what has been reported in the past, to know exactly what is happening as of now in MDDA. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Van Dijk?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I first want to ask, where is the Deputy Minister who is in charge of MDDA? I didn't hear apologies this morning. Because we never see her.
No, there was an apology for Deputy Minister. She's in cabinet meetings.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I also have my concerns. As a committee, in 2016-17, we made recommendations on, and we asked for a report, that a report should be made available on the compliance of municipalities on the use of community media when advertising. That was one of the recommendations that we made. It is clearly that community radio and media, print media, doesn't receive the money or funding that they need to be sustainable, because I get a lot of complaints with regards to that. And on in a written question last year, it was found that the Department of Communication and all its entities, it only spent 1.3 million on community media, and the DOC had a budget for 11.9 million, and it didn't even spend 1 cent on community media. So what we would request is that that there's a definite plan from the when we start. I just want to mention that when we started out as MPs, it was said to us, it was in one of the ministers' speeches, it was mentioned that there would be a 30% ad spend towards community media. We haven't seen that yet, and community media cannot compete with corporate radios. So we as government, we need to support them. So this report, a detailed report, is really very important, so that we can see what a detailed report from departments also, to see what is water spending, social development, what are they actually spending on community media. The other thing that is also really bothering me is the fact that the moratorium on community radio licensing, that cannot be ongoing forever, because community radio is important. It's the medium which we use. It's affordable, accessible. It's it also creates opportunities, skills development. If you don't fund, if you don't support with advertising, skills cannot develop. Program content cannot be developed. So there's a lot of things that actually benefit when we will benefit when we start supporting community media. But what are we really going to do with regards to this? Thank you, Chair.
Comment, Bint.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Yeah, mine is only a question on the appointment of the group CEO at SABC. It looks like, other appointments will be made before the incumbent, I understand that there is an acting, but if let's say someone else is appointed, then are you telling me that these other people must be appointed in his absence? Yeah, because I thought that it's always advisable that at least we start with the group CEO so that when other executive directors are appointed, at least he or she is part of that process. I'm not saying things must be put on hold, but it's always advisable.
Okay. Honorable Tache.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. Thank you, Minister, for the presentations as well. I'm very happy to see that more and more efforts are made for people with disabilities, but I do have a couple of questions. On slide 11, ICASA talks about the draft code for people with disabilities. Now, that has been there for years. I even have a CD of this code, and I would like to encourage the department to encourage ICASA to start implementing this and not delay it for finalizing the code forever. They need to start implementing it. People with disabilities are waiting, and they have been waiting for a long time for this to be implemented. I think the second point, same slide, need correction. Usage of sign language, it's not usage of spoken language for the deaf. I think you just need to maybe correct it there. Then I want clarity on the last point. It says the department will publish digital radio policy directives to address issues of the deaf. Me as a deaf person cannot hear the radio. Deaf people do not hear the radio. So can you please explain what you mean in this regard, to publish the digital radio policy directive to address issues of the deaf? Which means if the deaf want to give input on radio, which they can't hear, if it's digital radio that becomes print, then, oh, wonderful, I'm going to be very happy that if whatever is said on radio is printed so that I can read it. But can you just explain what you mean with regard to that? On slide 12, slide 14. Disability access orders was done. Can the department make sure that we get a copy? I sit on DPSA and I've never seen a report come through to that committee as yet. So can you please email us the report on that? Then slide... Okay, well, relating to the employment equity, the numbers... The number doesn't show up. I don't see the number there. But it's in terms of the employment equity, the status within the DOC. Okay, February 2018, the number of people with disabilities has declined. Now, we would like to keep the department, that number within the department, that it stays at least above 2%. So have you looked at the reasons for the decline, and can you address those reasons? Maybe it's the accessibility, maybe resources aren't provided to people with disabilities, so there can be various reasons. So what are the reasons, and do you, in your exit report, the exit interview, Do you interview them? Do you ask them the reasons why they leave? Can you just explain to us why the decline? Then, okay, the deaf people have been watching what's been happening over the past 2 years. And when the previous president announced on TV that he would resign, the national director of the Deaf Federation of South Africa got a lot of messages on his phone because there was no interpreter provided. What's happening? We don't understand what's going on. We also want to see what's happening in the country. Unfortunately, fortunately for some people and unfortunately for majority of the people, you know, I can go to Sky News. It's not our channel. It's not South African. It's fully subtitled. You know, why the reason why the president is talking and the reason he's resigning. I had an opportunity to film it and put it on Facebook, to send it to other deaf people so that they can have a look and read why the president was leaving. ETV had nothing. SABC, our channel, had nothing. And I'm asking you to speak to the SABC. Important national news. People with disabilities need to be included, including deaf people. What is happening in the news? I have to applaud DSTV. DEFSA has been lobbying with them to make their programs more accessible through subtitles. And I strongly believe that subtitles is the answer, or the answer for literacy for children and adults. Literacy is very important. Now they've added, it's not only Sky News, but they've added a children's channel, Nickelodeon, a channel for children, which is now fully subtitled. Not all of it, sorry, but not all programs, but some. Department, you need to lobby with the SABC. I have been on this committee for a very long time, and I've been lobbying and lobbying for access to information through subtitles. How you can empower the deaf, not even other disabilities, but just the deaf, to get information, because they lack information, even in the education system. Now, the best part where we can get access to information is on TV. So please encourage the SABC to get more things subtitled. I'm grateful for what has been done, but more is needed, especially with regard to current news and current events. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think that was the last question. No question?
Thank you very much, Chair, and welcome the inputs. I'll give others to the acting DG to respond to. I'm going to try and respond to others. Honourable Ngubel, part of maybe the challenge from our side is that SMME support and development is the money, there is now a department for it. Now, we can do in terms of ensuring that in terms of participation, we ensure the alignment, getting SMME to benefit, especially from a department point of view, which I think the issue then differs when you go to entities. But equally, I mean, the responsibility is now given to the Department of SMME, Development and Cooperative Affairs, to be able to provide support for the SMMEs. We can do to a limited period. And I think, members, I need to highlight, we would like to do more, but remember, our budget is limited. We're operating with a staff complement that is not even above 100 for the entire DOC. We're sitting at 79 funded posts. In other departments, that's a branch. Yes. So you need to understand, that's why we can't take certain responsibilities. We can do what we can with the resources that we have. And I think we are doing more with the resources that we have. Hence, we would be cautious in certain things that we would not be able to venture into because of our limited resources. And it goes to even what Honorable Said was saying in terms of the support. We can ask the entities to give. I'm just being quite upfront so that there isn't an expectation of things that we can't do as the department because of our limited resources and our mandate. We have to focus on what we are requested to do in terms of our mandate, especially with the resources that we have. The issue of underfunding, underspending, it is a concern. I mean, even from the department, we're going to have underspending on, or even money, retaining money for the posts. This ones that I was talking about, the senior ones, DG and deputy, two deputy directors. As you know, the department does not have a deputy director. We have people at chief director level that we have appointed. But we are funded for only two, by the way, as well. Not for the full complement of the staff that we require. So others remain unfunded posts in terms of where we are. Now, the issue of consequence management, yes, we are taking, I mean, we're putting in place some of those things. But equally, I think we don't want to be, we're also putting consequence management, but at least try as well bring on board the colleagues. Say this is what you shouldn't say. If you fail this, then it might strain the relations. So it's that balancing act. Well, you're putting them to comply, but you don't stay in relations where it's like, then people will take a defensive approach, and then you don't have a good working relation. So it's quite a delicate issue that we have got to do. On international trips, we were requested to provide a list of them. Definitely in terms of value for money. I mean, you can see the trips that have been done, the participation. It's not too many for a financial year, but equally it's very critical areas in terms of our work. On slide 8, Honorable Teddy, the issue was its focus on ICT. And maybe that's why the response in the manner that it is. Because in terms of the mandate, the ICT mandate is with telecoms and postal services. But understanding the convergence, we do work together to ensure that in the broadcasting space as well, where a platform of ICT is utilized, we are able to work together. We will definitely, I think we can be able to provide that comprehensive report. Actually, one of the things we said we agreed with GCIS Chair was for example, to do a comprehensive report for even participation of ministers in radios, writing articles, our visibility in communication to share with cabinet, but we can share with that. Just to say this is how we're doing. Equally on the participation of departments in terms of community radio participation, as well as media, community print media. We will provide that report. I think it will be able to assist where we are. All as well, I think the team is noting as well the request for a progress in terms of women and disability employment status, in terms of actually it's equity employment in terms of entities. Honorable Van Dijk, we have reviewed the delegation between myself and TM. The deputy minister is responsible for ICASA and Brand SA. MDDA, SABC, Films and Publications Board are under the purview of the minister. We're sharing responsibility in terms of parliament work and international commitment together with cabinet. That's why we try to say when the other is not. Hence, she couldn't be here today. She has to sit through. Otherwise, then we miss out both of us. So she is in cabinet committee. That's why I'm able to be here. In terms of participation. Since I started in the department, I think we've used quite a number of, I've done a lot of community media. When I have Imbizo, I engage in community media platforms. We have facility in GCIS where you are able to plug into all community radio stations in the country and engage with them. I've done that twice since I've been appointed. We're utilizing community media for digital migration projects, so our spending in terms of that is there. I think when we come, I think we are scheduled to come with GCIS. I'm not so sure, I can't remember the date. they will be able to give that determination, because we GCIS do media buying on behalf of government. There is an allocation that is done for community media that is spent. If it's not sufficient, I think we can have a conversation, but I think let's have that comprehensive with the report in front of us, how much has been spent and in which areas. I must flag, while we are fighting for community media, I've also raised with them, most of them that I've met, there are some challenges. Some of them go and apply for a license for community media and they turn it into commercial. And we have some of them who are able to, their budget is running very well, and they do not want to pay. For example, they will owe Centec, they will owe where they're supposed to pay. So we do have challenges as well. But where others, we put them, you go support them, you give them equipment, supported, then you hear one time, you hear that all the equipment is gone. Or there was a fighting in terms of the community media board, this one. So we do have those mismanagement of finances. So the issue of community media needs a comprehensive approach where you deal with all those things. And hence part of the reasons why we are requesting the amendment of MDDA Act is to assist us to close the gaps that we are picking up, where you can be able to intervene, where you can be able to support, where you can be able to put mechanisms to say, when we give you support, these are the things that we expect you to do, you comply with this. But equally, the department had some level of engagement previously with them. We're looking at that report, but we've committed to having a summit with them. All of them, we can have a mainstream so that we take decisions together. We have declarations of commitment, so that they can say, this is what we are going to do, this is what we are going to correct themselves. And we can say from government point of view, this is what we're going to do. Because it will be difficult if I go and fight, for example, you go and fight and say, please place this, go and talk to community radio. Then you find that they don't air the advert at the time that they're supposed to. That then causes problems for us. So there are those things that they have to adhere to, so that they can be able to be compliant. But that is work in progress, obviously. We'll have to do more support. But equally, one of the things I have done was to engage Minister of Small Business and Development and Cooperative, Minister Zulu, to say, can we partner so that some of this community media, we treat them as SMMEs as well, so that they can benefit from issues of training, issues of support out of that, so that they can go. Because there are things that we think that are falling in terms of support of SMMEs that some of the community media can be able to learn, how they can run their businesses effectively, financial management. So those things for us are more important in terms of that. I think the issues, Honorable Mbinda, we do take note of that. We'll communicate with SABC the views in terms of what you are raising. Honorable Trehan, I know very well. I mean, when I sat with the team, I told them that, you see, if you are going to be very cagey in what you do, you're not going to pass through, Honorable Member, because for years you've been raising these things. I know for a fact. I did engage with SABC to try and improve. But equally, we were even saying that we shouldn't wait just for the code. I said to the team, there is a need for calling a meeting with all the broadcasters, just to sit and say, what is it that they can do to improve, all of them, in terms of accessibility, because I think it's a human right issue where I'm sitting. Access to information is an issue that we can undermine. The issue in terms of slide 11 on explaining digital radio policy, there it's about the policy that we are developing. How do we ensure when we develop the, it might, I think the way they have written it, it's actually the audiovisual policy that we are developing broadly to say, how do we ensure within the broadcasting space issues of disability, people with living with disability are catered for, especially the deaf community. I think others are a bit accommodated. How do we ensure that it becomes a policy that we don't go and negotiate, but we put it as something that everybody has to comply with? Because once we don't put it as a policy, then you have to negotiate and plead for cooperation, which I think it has been something that you've been doing together with other communities and Deaf SA, trying to get in within the broadcasting sector. And we think the policy will assist us in terms of just compliance within that. I think those are the issues. One decline in terms of it's one person leaving. The person was working with Minister Mutambi, and the person left. So we'll definitely envisage to ensure that the entire department is compliant together with others. I think DG will cover the issues that I left where I didn't respond so that he can assist. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. I think there are certain issues that were raised by honourable members.
Chair, can I request to be excused?
As agreed.
Thank you.
But members, can we, we've been sitting since 10 o'clock, can we take a 5 minutes comfort break? And then after that, the acting DG can respond. We come back at 15:15, and then we start with questions. Okay. So that they form part of the package. Machoba?
Thank you, Chair. I think DG, I'm worried because the minister is already gone. Because I have a crucial message from Ekukuletu in the issue of the radio station. In 2006, I think let me concur and welcome the report. Also, Chair, I have a message to the minister. According to the radio station of Kukuletu. In Kukuletu. In 2015, Minister Mutambi went to Kukuletu event
on a short period of 2 months. He went there on May and June again. The people of Guguletu was raising, actually requested the radio station. The minister take the matter to MDDA to implement the program of Guguletu. I think down the line where the radio station supposed to everything to be in place, the chairperson was the key to make sure that the radio station was implemented in Guguletu. When the changings of the cabinet came to our attention, I think last year, the DM, I won't mention a name, there's no need to mention a name, the DM of the communication stopped that project immediately. Immediately, effect without telling us what is the problem. The problem was between the chairperson and the deputy minister, the chairperson of MDDA. But that problem was affected that radio station of Guguletu. Now, this message, I thought I would direct it to the minister, because I want the minister to go back or to engage the deputy minister about this matter, what went wrong. Because the people of Guguletu are angry in this issue. And now it will affect even the government, the ruling party. Let me not say the ruling party, actually, though I know the ruling party is the head of this parliament. The people of Guguletu need the visit of the minister to engage them according to that radio station. I concur with you, comrade, Honorable Van Dijk. The radio station is accessible for the community. It can't be stopped by individuals without engaging the people of Guguletu. I know maybe you will not answer or give a proper report in this issue, but I will need the minister to visit Guguletu so that she can listen from the community of Guguletu in this issue. I missed the other questions, Getcha, because I was trying to check where I write all these questions I have. But maybe I will make a follow-up. This is what I want to raise by now. Thank you, sir.
Okay, you can handle those you can handle. Others can go through a particular process. Yeah.
Thanks, Chair. I think on the last issue by Honorable Machoba, it is also the departmental responsibility to track where the decisions that were made, how far are they implemented. And yes, I will convey the message to the minister for her to attend, but I think as a department we have a responsibility to track the process to see what happened and what went wrong, so that when the minister go to Guguletu, minister can have a clear picture of what happened and possibly come up with interventions on how best to address or remedy the situation. But I will definitely convey, but I think I also make a commitment that as a department we have a responsibility as well to ensure that whatever issues that are started are completed, and we ensure that we bring universal access to all the communities, and I think also in the people of Guguletu that will be looked into. I think Honorable Zedi and Honorable Trachen mentioned the issue of MDDA. I think, Honorable Chair, we can look into the matter and prepare a report on the state of affairs of MDDA for consideration, and we'll await an invitation in that regard. I think what we need to do also is to look in terms of the moratorium of community radio stations to see that the matter is finalized, because it can be a moratorium which is indefinite. So we need to look in terms of how best we can look into bringing the matter to finality and give a clear indication of where we are and when we're going to finish it. In terms of the budget on community media, and I'm quite sure we can look in terms of the breakdown, Honorable Chair, that we look in terms of what has been spent to date, because I think it is on that basis of that quantitative explanation to say from the beginning of last year how much has been spent to date, so that it gives the committee comfort to see whether are we really on track or not, so that if there are any recommendations to be considered to make sure we improve, we work on them as a department and we improve on it. I think those are the key issues, Chair, that were raised. The others were covered by the Minister. Thanks.
You want to make a follow-up on which page or slide?
Chair, it's on the very issue of the I'm being intimidated.
No, continue, you are protected.
Am I protected?
No, you are protected.
It's on the moratorium.
Remember, it's half past 12 now. 1 o'clock.
Just that issue, Chair. The issue of the moratorium, Chair. I agree with the view that says it can be a moratorium. The reason why there was this suggestion of this view of a moratorium, besides the issue of you providing the necessary support to community radios that you have started or funded, was this suggestion of one community radio per district. Because we have community radios that are very, very close to each other. That's one other aspect why you continue to struggle to support those that you have started. So it was in the light of you giving MDDA the necessary space to deal with this particular aspect as well. It's correct that people want community radios, but what's the use of us issuing out licenses in the long run who are not able to provide the necessary support? What's the use? So all I'm saying is that there is a need for us to look at this matter very, very closely, attend to this issue in the light of the proposal of one community radio per district and any other proposal which can then assist us to provide the necessary support. Sunday I visited one community radio in my province, Makado. I'm happy with the initiative given by the local municipality of Makado. They've given them a structure where they are going to be operating from. These are some of the issues that MDDA is supposed to be assisting with. So all I'm saying is that there is a need for us to look at this issue holistically, so that as we then issue out licenses, we have dealt with all these issues.
Offense the country very much. We are not going to respond.
Yeah.
Make a presentation on the oversight in KZN, because that oversight will also have the issues of radios and stuff. Just present that, and then after that we see how far we go. We still have to adopt the FPB public hearing. Let's lump these questions together with what we are going to present.
Thanks, Chair. I will. Thanks, Chair. I will move to slide number 3 of the report. That's where I will start. That. Minister to find ways to ensure community media is ready to operate in a digital environment. The department is finalizing the policy directive to ICASA regarding introduction of digital sound broadcasting in South Africa. We are hoping to conclude this in the first quarter of the new financial year. A task team was set up in January to plan a broadcaster summit. The summit is set for March 2018 to look in terms of all these challenges of community broadcasters and community media. Minister to report on the findings of impact study to Parliament. The MDDA is today adopting the impact study, which will be presented next week in the committee. Minister to take the initiative to improve interaction between government and community media. The department hosted a meeting with the community media and in January to discuss some of the challenges that they are facing. A document was agreed upon, and we are in the process of finalizing its implementation. We have agreed that there will be quarterly meetings with them to ensure that we oversee implementation of some of the issues that were agreed upon. The department rationalized staff support in order to cater for services throughout the provinces. The MDDA is finalizing its recruitment and appointment of personnel to capacitate the existing staff to service stations in all the provinces. This will be finalized by the end of June 2018. GCIS encourages and, where possible, assists local government in maximizing benefits from utilizing community media to support service delivery. All media buying procured through GCIS include recommendation to clients for placement of campaigns on community media. The project must strive to set an example to aspiring youth in the region based on its success rate thus far. The recommendation was directed to the SMM News project to look in terms of how best it can ensure that they implement this in ensuring that the youth are assisted. The project must attempt achieving survival outside government support, especially in the wake of financial downgrade status. The SMME News was approved for strengthening grant from the MDDA in November 2017. The funds covered increasing print run from 10,000 to 20,000 copies. The SMME has further managed to increase its print run to 30,000 using its own resources. The SMME News must continue to play the pivotal advocacy role to highlight strategies used to succeed as an SMME. The recommendation was directed to the SMME project due to the increased print run. SMM News now covers three municipalities, Ugu, Ilembe, and Etiquini, rather than the previous ones. Report to the Committee on the State of Affairs at the MDDA, including the governance matters. I think the as I indicated earlier, Chair, we might have to come back as a department to come provide a holistic picture of what is actually happening at MDDA. But to bring the committee to speed in terms of what's happening at MDDA at the moment, we have a new board which was appointed in 2017, and Mr. William Baloyi was seconded as an acting CEO from GCIS to MDDA, and all vacant senior managers' positions will be filled by 1st of April. MDDA must provide a comprehensive report on Kawe, and Kawe should also compile a report on their status before the end of the first quarter of 2017-2018. The recommendation was directed to Kawe. The MDDA received report from Kawe, and subsequently on-site capacity building interventions were made. Kawe has now accounted fully for the utilization of the tranche of funds that they received from MDDA. A report is available and will be made available to the committee. Minister to engage Minister of Telecoms to find alternative funding models for supporting costs associated with signal distribution. The department officials met with CENTEC and MDDA on the 26th of January to discuss the signal distribution costs with intention of finalizing the matter before 31st of March. On the 30th January 2018, the department with DTPS, SARS Treasury on Digital Development Bill that will look into the funding of costs associated with signal distribution. Minister to present to committee on the department plans to resolve governance challenges at the community media project. As I indicated, that the summit is set for March 2018 and the report will be finalized in April 18. Minister will present the report to the committee in the first quarter of 2018-2019. Is the KwaZulu News project should expedite the issue of the company registration. The matter is in progress and will be concluded in March. The KwaZulu News must continue to engage youth and expose them into the mainstream media. They are doing it, hence we mention it that it's been done. Comprehensive plan that will ensure that government advertise on community media project. Currently, GCIS procure airtime from community radio station on behalf of government departments, facilitate the production and relay government content through its satellite platform to community radio station, including payment for the airtime. They have daily news bulletin providing content for community radios, and they have regular phone-in programs connecting 65 community radios at once. The GCIS is finalizing the appointment of a panel of agencies for community print media. The standard operational procedure guide on media buying and the auditors is also finalized. This will be updated by April to coincide with the new financial year and reflect the inclusion of community media at 30%. The portfolio committee invites the minister to report on corruption allegation by the NCRF relating to business brokering by government employees in community broadcasting sector. The GCIS regular meet with the NCRF on a six-month basis and telephonically on a weekly basis. In addition, the GCIS procures community radio directly from the stations which negate the room for any brokers. However, corruption allegations were investigated directly with the NCRF as they were never raised with GCIS before. No evidence of corruption could be found. However, GCIS remain open to investigating it if there's anyone with new or evidence of any wrongdoing. The PCC invites Minister to present on the community broadcasting scheme. The scheme is ready and will be implemented by MDDA, but will be ready to come present. Ngubeko FM should expedite the employment of qualified accountant to deal with some of their challenges. The station has appointed Vigil Account to take care of the station books, save money, and be able to get good counsel on the most tax-efficient way of running the station. Kubeko FM to follow up with the Department of Health to try to recoup the monies owed to the station. The recommendation was directed to the station. The station is continuously engaging with the Department of Health on the payment matter. The station is currently off-air and evicted from the municipality office due to non-payment. The acting CEO is meeting with the municipality to find a solution to the matter. And the discussions will take place on the 22nd of February. The minister must present to the committee a program of action that will ensure that gender representation is actively being pursued by the agency to all projects receiving government grants. The MDDA has commissioned research to be done by Gender Links on gender parity in the sector. The research is due to be concluded in October 2018. Findings on the research will be used to develop interventions to ensure that we mitigate against some of these challenges. Invite the minister to present to it on the way to improve accountability of community media project. Minister shall await guidance of the committee to come present. The PCC shall invite the minister to debate on ways to legislate funding of community media projects. The minister will await the guidance of the committee. The minister must engage other departments to seek ways in which municipalities can attach community media projects to their offices as a cost-saving measure on rental. The discussions are ongoing with municipalities, and we are hoping that we'll be able to finalize some of them by the first quarter of 2018-2019. PCC shall invite the minister, ICASA, and MDDA to engage where possible on ways to review broadcast borders so that they are aligned to district municipalities. Ministers and entities shall await the guidance of the committee. A forensic audit of the MDDA is on how grants are dispersed be instituted before the end of the first quarter of the 2018. This was done. And I think that's all from the oversight report in KwaZulu-Natal.
That's the progress report, members. You know, my issue is we went to KZN. You know, whether it's KZN1 TV, was it KZN1, where we started, they expect something from us, and it doesn't appear here. KZN TV. There is Vibe FM. You know, there are some number of stations that we visited. Just that I can't remember the term that we're using. I mean, that was in 2016 or 2017 early. And my issue is that those people need progress on what they raised from us. I don't see progress. Yes, there is work in progress and all of that. But it's over a year now, so at least there must be something that we can say. This one, at least the department, after we've gone there, we gave them the issues. This is what they have done. But members maybe can point on those issues that I expected to be done. Comrade Tolashe.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, Honorable Chairperson, the report is very general for me. It doesn't talk to the issues that we specifically raised as the committee. And as such, I don't think this document can assist us in saying this is how we are responding onto the issues that were raised, Mr. Chairperson. And to an extent, you don't hear the role of the department in solving majority of the problems that were raised by those, because they raised the challenges with us because they expected us to link them with the department for the department to assist. And here, there are summits, there are meetings, very good, but I'm not sure how they're going to help. Some don't have timelines. For instance, in slide 7, where the minister is expected to resolve governance issues, and here is the response. There is nothing that talks to the exact issue on how the issues of governance are going to be resolved. Because if we talk issues of governance in the acting DDG, we directly speak about how the monies are being spent and accounted for. So if you talk summits and everything else, I'm not sure if you are resolving the problems that those people are particularly sitting with at the present moment. Chairperson, I would really want to suggest to say, for instance, Nkubeko, I'm not sure, DDG, how we are assisting Nkubeko in resolving the challenges, which for me are very huge. You are reporting to say they are being chased out of the building, they are out of air. Why must you still call them Nkubeko radio station? Because they are now no longer playing that role. So my take, Chairperson, here is that, no, the department did not really give us the correct or precise response. Let them go back, look at what we said in that report. Whilst they will be telling us about everything else that is quite important in trying to resolve the issues, but they must particularly respond to the issues that we particularly raised. So that, Chairperson, as you we have said already, we needed to go back in time to those communities. We must give responses. So, Chairperson, I think this is too general. Does not talk to the actual problems that we are talking about, and to an extent, it cannot does not assist us in saying, indeed, we went out, we picked up some challenges, we came back to bring that to the department, and this is how the department is responding. Yes, it's fine to have meetings, it's fine to do, but we need to respond in very straightforward way so that those communities, their problems are being resolved. Or you said, you don't exist, therefore go home. There's no such a thing by the name of Nkube. That how they will accept it is something different, but would have a direct response on the challenges that they raise. Lastly, Chairperson, I'm not sure this thing of tracking to our decisions, I think it's important, because when, as a PC, we raise the issue of the department and the minister having to tell us what is going to be their strategy, turning around strategy of the entities. I don't think we have received that report. Now we are responding on bits and pieces on things that are coming at a particular time, which Chairperson shall be a problem as long as we don't know exactly how is the minister and the department going to sit and come up with a strategy on how they are going to make sure that they turn their entities around, because majority of them are in a very bad state. And this is what we are experiencing when it comes to MDDA. That's why forever we will bring other reports, but we'll sit with MDDA forever, because we still have the problems that we had earlier on, even after we went to go and check what is the exact problem. So that will be my take, Chairperson. Sorry for taking long.
No, it's fine. It's okay. I think it's correct, because as I said earlier, the report doesn't talk to the specifics of what people raised with us. And we can't go to KZN and listen to all those people, and there is nothing that's happening. I think the proposal, for me, is fine that let us have a very specific report. But also we must assist them from the side of the committee to point at those areas that we need responses from. We know what was raised, and I think we just need to be specific. This is what we want, this is what we want. Notwithstanding that the report is there, it's your role to do that. But I think to assist moving forward, Let us have the pointed questions on the issues that were raised by the people in KZN oversight. That's the proposal that Comrade Tolash is proposing, that we in the next meeting with the department, let us get a very specific report, a very clear report on these matters. Honourable Van Dyke?
Thank you, Jay. I want to refer to page 7, and I just want to ask if it's possible that we can maybe get a report on what is the department at this stage doing with regards to the community media and the migration to digital. I see that the summit is planned, but it's almost 5 years late. So I just want to...
Which page is this?
Page 7. It refers to the digital migration and the plan for community media to ensure that the community media is not left behind during the migration to digital and towards all IP services. Yes, and I'm just curious, up to now, what has been done towards this issue with regards to within the community media sector? If it's possible that you can maybe, I know the time is short now, I can also put in a written question, but if it will be possible that we can maybe get a report on what has been done towards community media, because that's an ideal media to inform your listeners, and educate them with regards to the digital migration process. So what has been done towards this specifically? Then also, the GCIS community radio stations, I would like to know what radio stations has so far been included into procures of airmen with airtime, what radio stations in which provinces are being used currently. He doesn't really elaborate on that. So is it only certain provinces? Is it in all provinces? What specific radio stations benefit from government? Then also, there's also, we discussed in the committee with regards to GCIS and the procurement process. There was also by the AIP, a complaint was laid against Malele Advertising Procurement Agency. Can we also get feedback on how far that process is? That company was also used for buying advertising space. So we would like to get the feedback on that. Thank you.
I think you have noted all those questions. Because those will form part, acting DG, will form part of the detailed report that you are going to give us. Okay, members, can you step off this one and then in agreeing with Comrade Tolash that we needed a very a detailed report on these matters, but we'll assist the department to give them the areas like what Van Dijk has done. We'll write to you, and the sector will do that, write to you and say, these are the issues that want their responses from the department. And then we can elaborate on that one. Okay. Can you go to FPB report before we break? Comrade Pumzile?
Chair, I'm just a little bit confused about where we are with the FPB report, because on the program for Tuesday, there's two items. There's the committee report on this one here, on the public hearings, and then there's a second reading debate. But I've just got a message from our whippery that there isn't a second reading debate on the bill anymore. So I'm just a bit confused about what's actually happening on Tuesday.
Public hearings report. Can you dispense with this? And then I'll listen to what you're saying again after that. We do have the report, members, of the public hearings on FPB. Is there anything on the films and publications? Public hearings? Huh? A straightforward report. Honorable Lerumo, Comrade Lerumo.
Thank you, Chair. I was going also I want to put it on record. The report is just straightforward. I'll move for adoption of it.
Comrade Lerumo moved adoption. Van Dijk?
Actually, I also agree. I just want to ask one question before I... I just want to find out if all submissions are now done with. Is this we're going forward with the information that we have now? I'm just going to conclude on that. So there's going to be no input from public or any person furthermore on this specific...
This is the report. This is what. These are the public hearings. This is the report of the public hearings. So what? There is an endorsement from this from the committee.
Yeah.
Remember that bill, the FPP bill. It's will have to go elsewhere. Meaning NCOP, and then come back to the National Assembly, and then finalize it.
I just want to be prepared.
Then maybe the because there are some processes that Parliament follows on this matter. Can I allow the Secretary to tell us from this one is fine, no problem about this one. And now the process, the bill goes to SOP and all those things according to Parliament processes.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Honourable Members. As members would remember, we had our public hearings, deliberated on the matters raised, and produced an A bill, which we tabled to the National Assembly together with the B version. Now there's going to be those debates in the National Assembly of first and second reading debates, and once the National Assembly has finalized those debates, they will then refer the bill to the National Council of Provinces, because it is a Section 75 bill, so it will go to the National Assembly, to the National Council of Provinces, where they run also a similar process that we did as the committee. And thereafter, the bill will be debated there, referred back to the National Assembly. The National Assembly will refer it to the committee to say, NCOP had its own deliberations. This is what they propose as amendments to what you have produced as the Portfolio Committee on Communications. Then it will be up to this committee whether it accommodates such amendments or sticks with what is on the current B bill. So that's what is going to happen now. From NA, it will go to NCOP, back to us as this committee. And then after that, once it's passed by the NA, then it goes to the president for us. And thank you, Trey.
Yes.
Sorry to belabor the point. I just want to know what to prepare on Monday evening. So there's going to be a declaration on this, yes? So this is going to be tabled before the House, and we'll all no declarations.
Sorry, Chair. Through you, Chairperson. And I remember this report is just on the public hearings which we conducted last year. We had public hearings, and that this is the report on those public hearings. What will be debated in the National Assembly is the report, the amendments that this committee has proposed and developed that B bill. Thank you very much.
No, this one we are done with it. This one. We are done with this one. So the process follows. Is it clear? When is it coming? Can we check the so that those who are what is the program saying? Because it's ours. This thing is ours. And I hope it's not next week. You see that? By now we should have known it's coming. Okay, please, if just look at it, Secretary, and then inform members when is it coming.
Tuesday, 27 February, plenary. First item, consideration of report on PC of Communications on Film and Publications Amendment Bill. Then number two, second reading debate, Film and Publications Amendment Bill.
very clear. It's on Tuesday, members. Thank you very much, Pomzula, about it. But thanks to raise the matter so that we are all clear. But also for Tuesday, so that we can be better prepared. Members, everything is fine now. We are done. Honorable Van Dijk, you are not? Can you second it? Can you second it? Well, thanks a lot, man. This meeting is adjourned.